First down out to the 32. 2:20 to play here in the ballgame. Blake drops the throw. Pump fake. Now throws it up the left sideline. Wants Allen Robinson. Allen has it. He is knocked out of bounds. That is a catch. That'll send Blake over the yardage total he needed. He needed 179 yards to become the all-time single-season passing yardage leader for Jacksonville. So congratulations to him for doing that. It's a 23-yard game.
4:39 to play in the game. Three left, one right. Mercedes Lewis lined up to the right. Dropping his Bortles on fourth down. Now scrambling to his left. Watt is chasing him.
He's not a big talker at all. Like, you kind of just, you hear him, like, grunting and moaning behind you as he's coming.
Fires it into the end zone. Caught for the touchdown. On the run, he found Allen Hurns in the corner of the end zone for the touchdown.
What do you need? What's the one other component that you need to get you to the next level besides the obvious running game?
I got to quit throwing picks. So
I like that, man.
I'm going to figure that out.
I like that.
This is the quarterback here at Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Now,
that's right,
from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in. Good morning, everybody. We're back live at Everbank today. Jags back on the practice field for OTAs. Tony, forget it. LT used to be 56, right? Now it's Blake Bortles.
Heretofore
to be known as number 56. When in NFL lore, who is the greatest 56 of all time? Well, it's got to be BB5, Blake Bortles, the B2 bomber, whatever you want to call the guy. Today we're going to ask for your reaction to his placement on the list. Tony and I, we've discussed it, Tony. I don't really think he belongs in the top 100 players yet. I like to leave that carrot dangling out in front of him a little bit. I don't think these players are playing necessarily for their place in the, you know, they don't start the season going, where am I going to rank at the end of the year in the player vote for the top 100?
I'm sure.
But if he did, I would have expected him to be a little bit lower on the list in the top 100. I'm not knocking Blake, man. I mean, I think it's fantastic that there's enthusiasm for a true franchise quarterback here in Jacksonville, the first time we've had that in a long time. And I think he can grow into one of the best guys in the league. I just think he's a little bit overranked right now. You consider, could you find two players on average on every team? I mean, 56 is pretty high, bro. If you're just taking the best two off every team, you're talking 64 players in the National Football League. And I understand that there are some teams that wouldn't have any players better than Blake Bortles, but there are probably several teams out there that have multiple players better than Blake Bortles. Those are the kind of teams that win Super Bowl championships. And, it is what it is. It's a nice honor. And we'll now sit back and wait to see where Allen Robinson figures into the equation.
Yeah, we'll see where A-Rob finally lands on this list. We fully expect him to be the fifth Jaguar to appear on this list if it is indeed going to be five guys. I get... And I know we're getting this on the text line right now, driven by Duval 4-2. You know, you guys realize it's supposed to be about 2015 and nothing else that happened matters. If you actually believe that players voted on this thing and nothing that happened before 2015 factored into it at all, then why the hell is Andrew Luck 92?
Why is he even on the list?
Right. He had a terrible year last year. Even when he was on the field, he was bad for that football team in Indianapolis. If you don't think players are accounting for everything these players have done in their career, now, do they move up and down the list maybe based on how good or bad a season they had the year before? Yes. And maybe if we're doing a list just based on the 2015 season, do I think that Blake Bortles belongs maybe around that 56 era? He might. Like, if you're just looking at the players who had the best year in 2015, he might be 56. Heck, he might deserve to be higher than that when everything is said and done, if that's what you were actually doing. But I just don't believe that's how players vote. I'm still a little bit surprised that he appears on this list at all, and that he would be in the mid-50s surprises me even more than that.
Yeah, I got this one on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. Quit hating Mike and Tony. Take the pacifier out of your mouth, baby. Okay, seriously.
Nobody's hating.
I mean, just don't be a baby about it. Just be realistic about it. It's okay. Why isn't he 55, Tony? Why isn't he number one? Are you kidding me? Give me a break. All right. Nobody's hating on anything.
Can we retire the word hater? The word hater is just overused.
It was overused the moment it was first spoken. Honestly, it's so dumb. If you criticize anything or you take an opposite opinion to anything, you're just a hater. You just have this irrational hate, and that could, right. couldn't possibly be that you just disagree with something on its merits.
Sure. Look, I'm glad he's there. I'm glad Blake Bortles is on the list. I'm glad he's as high on the list as he is. I'm glad that the team and the player gets that kind of exposure, whatever it's worth, to be on the NFL top 100 players and have that kind of spotlight. I'm happy that the Jags are in that kind of spotlight. I look at what they've accomplished, in this last year and I say, is he really that guy? Like, I'm just asking, is he really number 56 in the league right now? I just don't think that he is, and that's okay. It's okay.
It's okay if
that
you
he's
think
still
he is
there
as well.
Yeah.
You know, but it doesn't make you a hater to just critically disagree with the ranking. But also somebody points out it's the top 100 players of 2016 being the key. Do you really think the players voting in early December are sitting there going, who do I think after another off season of maturing is going to be among the best players in 2016? I think they're voting for at that moment who they think the best players are in the National Football League. I don't think the players are putting that much critical analysis into this. I don't think they're no. trying to project forward on what's going to happen. If that were the case, I think Andrew Luck would have been a lot higher.
Sure.
They would have discounted what happened in 2015. I think they vote on, at that moment, a snapshot in time, how they feel about guys.
Look, and I've said this since we started talking about the NFL Top 100. It's been kind of an irrelevant discussion here in Jacksonville for the first couple of years of the list because there just hasn't been much Jaguars talk. This year, when we found out there was going to be a couple guys on the list and then we found out it was going to be five, I've still never watched an episode of the NFL's Top 100. It like the list just doesn't interest me enough for me to tune in on
the
a Wednesday
drama, the
night.
The countdown. And
yeah, to see what's going to happen. I get it from a fan perspective that you're excited. The team's getting more exposure than they've gotten in the past decade, really, with what's happening with this team, with the young offense growing up together, with some of the pieces that they put in place. You got a quarterback that you finally feel like you can depend on going forward, that he is the franchise for this team. I get the excitement of the fan base. It's still not enough to get me to tune into this thing and get excited about where these guys are showing up on this list, but I do think it's cool, and I do think it's an indicator of how people feel, how the players in this league, and we've talked to free agents when they come in here about what was their perspective on the Jacksonville Jaguars as a franchise, and you've listened to the dialogue about how they feel about this franchise change with the last two or three free agent classes. The dialogue about the Jaguars is changing, and what's going on with this NFL Top 100 list is just another example of that. The expectations around the league are for this team to make a jump and for it to happen in 2016, and if it doesn't, everyone should be very, very disappointed with whatever occurs.
And unless something shocking occurs, Allen Robinson will be considered one of the top 50 players at minimum
yeah.
in the National Football League, at least based on his peers' vote. And look, it's an imperfect process, but it's a fun talking point, as you said, and it's nice to see. I do think it is indicative. I don't think it's this guy stuffing the ballot box. Every team has the opportunity to vote just for their players, if that's the case, if that's what the rules allow. Everyone, it's under the same strictures. Maybe there's some teams that kind of blow this off and don't really care
sure.
about it, but yet, still, it seems like the same, you know, superstar players find their way into the top 10, top 20 year after year after year, providing they don't have the kind of season Andrew Luck had last year. So we'll talk about that today. That's the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. What is your reaction to Blake Bortles' ranking of number 56 on the NFL Network's top 100 players list as voted on by the NFL players themselves? You can weigh in on that today on the program coming up in a few minutes straight from the practice field. John Osier from Jaguars.com will lead us off as he's been doing throughout these OTAs. We'll have Amanda Borges stopping by, 1010XL Jaguar reporter extraordinaire, at about 10:35, and hopeful if we can, if everything times out right, to catch up with rookie Sheldon Day out of the University of Notre Dame, as he will join us here in studio around 11:40 if everything works out with practice wrapping up. You got the coaches clinic going on out there. By the way, let me just say this. All right, if you drive a Toyota Camry and you think parking exactly over the line dividing two spots so half your car is in each space is a good idea, you're an idiot, okay?
Camry.
I just have a feeling I'm going to have a list of idiots today. Toyota Camry owner who wants to park in the middle of two parking spots, you are an idiot, okay? I could run into your Toyota Camry, and it would probably increase the value of that piece of junk, all right? So stop it right now.
I'm actually in J. I had to go park in J.
Well, a lot of coaches here.
Yeah.
You could have parked in our normal area had not been for the Toyota Camry, okay? Would have had an extra space in there. Because I squeezed in, not next to him, but heaven forbid, I would scratch a Toyota Camry's door. Amazing. All right, we'll take a timeout. If you want to get in today, there's ways to do it. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, 641-1010, the phone number. Also the text line driven by Duval Ford. Tell us what blatant hating idiots we are today. It's going to be a theme, I have a feeling. John Hosier, Jaguars.com, senior writer. Coming up next, it is Jaguars Today. We're live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. We got Johnny O in studio. O knows with us here from Jaguars.com. By the way, Jaguar quarterback Blake Bortles is providing a football camp, I'm told, for 500 local boys and girls, which is a nice deal.
Cool. And you don't like him.
Later. Well, that's why. Put him at 55.
It's
now.
The football camp that you don't like.
He should be. It's
the helping youngsters that you don't
500?
Like. Only 500? All right.
Why not 600?
That's right.
Why not 700? I don't know. Now, look, it's amusing to me.
You're just all eaten up with hate today.
Oh, I'm not. I'm not, actually. But let me read this one to you on the text line. It's funny how you guys have been praising Blake all offseason for his franchise-setting year and how he threw for 35 touchdowns. Nope. Absolutely correct. We praised him, took major strides in his second season. There have been fans out there, the texter continues, saying those numbers are useless because we're still losing. Oh, but the minute the players notice what y'all have been crediting him for and respect him enough to put him in the top 100, now it's a problem and he shouldn't be there. Shaking my head, can't have it both ways.
Not true.
Third idiot of the day, right there. Third one already.
Only three?
I don't even remember who the first one was. Maybe the Camry owner was one number one and two.
He's up there.
Look. Do we give him credit? Yes. It's not an either or proposition. You can credit a guy
right.
and still recognize he has flaws and he has areas he needs to tighten up and work to do, mainly the interceptions,
right.
the crippling interceptions, but just the sum total of the turnovers for Blake way too high. And which directly impact the one loss record, which has not been great in his first couple of years in the league. It's not all his fault. Yes, you can credit a guy, but still say, hey, I don't think he's there at this point that he was recognized for, which he was last night.
I mean, to me, you know, I'm glad for Blake he was up there.
Sure.
Again, I don't put a huge stock in this list. It's great. It's fine off-season talk.
You don't have to do a two-hour show every day.
I do not. But to me, Blake is what he is right now, meaning he's a guy who when you look at him, and if you're a GM, if you're a coach, if you're building this franchise, you are thinking, hey, fantastic. We have a guy who has clearly shown that he has the ability to improve. He has the ability to work on his own shortcomings, which he clearly did last offseason, to have those things show up in real time on the field, which they did last season. He got better. But he's not a guy who's elite yet because of the interceptions, because of the fumbles, because he has to improve in pocket awareness. All of these things that, guess what? Most second-year guys do need to work on those things. I'm not saying it's okay to have done the things in the past, but it's not unusual. It's not unovercomable. It's not a career-ending thing. But there's clearly things he has to work on. So is 56 too high? Yeah.
Hater.
If you were taking potential and the concept or thought that these guys might be somebody to build a franchise around, would he be in the top 25 or 30? Probably. I mean, he's a guy that you look at and think, if I was drafting right now and drafting the entire league and I needed a quarterback, needed a young guy, he'd be up there.
Absolutely.
But he's not there in terms of performance, which if this list is based on performance, then it's probably a little high. But so what?
Right. It's not the end of the world. But
you drink your little purple drink and just relax.
Oh, you stop. All right. You know, you breeze in here. You make some offhand
I do
comments,
breeze in.
You roll back out with your oversized sombrero and you act like it never happened. Okay. It's a talking point. It came out last night. I'm not surprised he was in this section. They basically alluded to it with the promo that they ran last week where they used the photo of Blake in the background, promoting the fact that they're going to announce numbers 60 through 51 on the countdown this week. Look, again, good for him.
Sure.
I think he'll probably kind of downplay it significantly today.
It shows that players within the league look at him, and on whatever level they think about this sort of poll, there are guys who look at it and go, yeah, that's pretty good. And that's good to have out of your quarterback. He's not a guy who people around the league are looking at and going, he doesn't have a chance. So his stock is going up, if you will. This is a fun thing. The reality of why it's fantastic aura around Blake right now is the potential, the growth that he's shown, the work ethic that he's shown, the stuff he showed last year makes you think that winning-wise, he might just be scratching the surface. I mean, there's a lot of things that can get better. And so far, there's no reason to think that he won't improve on his weaknesses.
And the confidence that his teammates have in him, the belief that they have in him has been unwavering basically since the first moment he took over.
Well, he's always had that off the charts. And if somebody had asked me last year what his biggest strength was, clearly that's it. And you guys have seen it. He's the guy that immediately understood how to relate when he was a rookie to older teammates. He knew what he was then and what he wasn't. He knew how to get along, how to grow into that leader. The intangible quarterback stuff that makes guys want to play with him and for him, he's got it as good as any young quarterback I've ever seen. So, and I've only seen a few. I wasn't around Peyton at this age. I assume he had it too. But on that front, he's off the charts. He appears to be getting better and everything else. To me, I want to see the decision-making and the key situations improve next year. And that's what he's working on.
And in terms of relating to older players, the benefit Blake has is that most of them were like 25.
Older guys, they saw it in this guy right away. And that's not always the case with a young quarterback who hasn't really shown anything. And he didn't play all that well as a rookie. And there was a lot going on around him that caused that. But you never heard off the record in the hallways, whispers that these guys didn't think he was going to be something special.
So how's he looked in OTAs to you so far?
Like you're supposed to look in OTAs. It seems from, and I haven't charted every pass, but it looks like he's more accurate, more quick with the ball. I don't necessarily go back and look at his fundamentals first year on film and say, is this what he's doing? But it looks like he's solid in those things. He looks like a third year quarterback is supposed to look in OTAs, which is comfortable. The offense seems to be doing as well as it can in this time. So what you don't want are red flags. So he looks fine.
Have you noticed, because you've got a lot of guys returning on the offense. You have the offensive coordinator coming back for his second year with this unit, and they had so much success last year under Greg Olsen, that the unit as an entire group is performing at a little bit crisper pace. I realize there's some new faces.
The players certainly say that, and that was Blake's thought last week when he talked, is it's night and day compared to what it was last year in terms of the quick recall of the offense when they're on the field. At some point with an offense, if it's going to be really efficient, it has to become a fluent language for the players. And Blake said for himself and for the players, it felt like it was night and day in that sense, where they're not, you don't want to be out there thinking, okay, what does X red 30, Sacramento mean? It's okay, the play call, and now we're going.
What does that mean?
I have no idea. And I know it doesn't mean Omaha. But on that front, the players, Bortles especially, said that was clearly night and day from last year. It's supposed to be, and that can't help but help next season.
We are scheduled to be joined by Sheldon Day later on in the show, a little over an hour from now, if things work out. Gus Bradley praised him a little bit before we get to the phone calls here. Your thoughts as he stood out to you at all?
as a defensive lineman, not really, you know, but he hasn't not stood out. He's been, as a rookie defensive lineman, he's athletic. He's the things you want. They feel good about him, and they feel like he gives you depth at that spot and a guy who can develop. But after a week and a half OTAs, I'm not going to sit here and
Come on, John.
Boy, the three technique
will
in there.
Will we see Sheldon Day next year somewhere in the top 60 players in the National Football League?
I would. Well, if I say no, I'm a hater.
You are.
So I'm a little.
Well, there are only 53 guys that will be on the final roster, so there's room for all in the top 60.
Yeah, I've got to say minimum 25 Jaguars.
I think Carson Tinker's not breaking maybe 75, somewhere in that range. You know,
Tinker looks like that guy on the a new commercial about peanuts that's on.
I'm not sure that
there's a commercial that they talk about, like, the great things about the peanut.
Okay.
And they've got this guy sitting in a college class, and they say this great thing about a peanut, and, like, this little cloud goes off over the head, and the guy goes, yeah, peanuts.
You remember
it's like Tinker.
Eddie Murphy told us that George Washington Carver died penniless and insane, if you recall the great George Washington Carver skit that he used to do.
You just pulled a grade school reference out of there.
It was that
George Washington Carver and the peanut.
Well, it was true. That is a grade school reference. The Eddie Murphy reference is more of a junior high.
Yes, it is.
Kind of era for me. Let's get a couple of calls in while we have the senior writer from Jaguars.com. We'll start with Jarrell on the north side. Good morning, Jarrell. You're on Jaguars today. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy. What's up?
Nothing much. With Blake Bortles ranking at 56, honestly, when the list started, I didn't think he was going to be on there. When I found out there were five Jags, I was thinking, like, maybe Lee Jackson would be the fifth one. I mean, obviously, A-Rob's the last one. We know that. But I'm kind of surprised at how high he was. I wasn't expecting to be that high. I was thinking, like, maybe somewhere around, like, the 80s, like Hearns and Telvin Smith were. But I'm glad he's on the list nonetheless. I think he's improving, and I expect a great season from him. I'll let y'all take it off the air from there.
Thank you, Jarrell. And let's be clear about that. As we said, we're all it's sure. Great to see the Jags getting more notoriety,
absolutely,
more recognition.
And I think it's more reflective of that. It's more reflective that this offseason and even late last season, he was putting up numbers. There started to be a feeling that the arrow was up. As you've made reference to a couple of times on this list, you don't really know exactly how it works. It could be that two or three guys voted him really high, and that might be enough to get you from 85 to 55.
Right.
You know, these voting, if you get 10 points from this vote, maybe it vaults you past. It's whatever. It shows that, again, people around the league think this guy is going to be pretty good, and he looks the part. He's putting up some numbers. He doesn't stink, which is the most important thing about the second-year guy right now. But, no, I mean, we've had some guys who maybe did. So, so that's the good news on this. None of it matters till the season, but you've got four or five guys on this roster and probably a few more because we're sitting here now saying, well, somebody's getting left off who ought to be there. We're bowing up a little bit, right? You know, hey.
Absolutely.
Malik ought to be on that. And this guy. So there's more guys in the conversation. Realistically, 4 years ago, there wasn't anybody in the conversation except your co-host.
Put it this way, Malik Jackson got $90 million in free agency, and it looks now like he probably won't appear in the top 100 players.
I think league people, meaning GMs, evaluators, if they were doing this list, probably would have him much, much higher.
I agree with that.
Which is fine, because it means you got more good players.
Let's get one more. Nick in Pittsburgh, who counts me now among his Twitter followers as he graduates high school tomorrow. That was his graduation present from me, John. He requested it by request.
Oh, you went.
I was not so presumptuous as to say my Twitter follow.
You went about as deep in those pockets as you usually do.
That's about as far as I'll go. Nick, what's on your mind this morning?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
I was going to talk about the Texans. Do you really think Brock Osweiler is going to be good there? I know. Do you think he could be a one-year wonder? And then my second thing is about the Pro Bowl. In my opinion, I think it's stupid. I have an alternative. I think there should be like a NFL like competition, like skills competition, like whoever can make the longest field goal or who can make the longest throw. I mean, that's an idea I have. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, that Nick, thank you for the call. That's been mentioned, alternatives to the Pro Bowl. The bottom line is, as long as people keep tuning in for it, the NFL is going to keep pushing to have that.
Put all the Pro Bowlers in a cage and let them fight their
way.
Well,
now that it's going to Orlando, I think it may change, because the players, the last time it came around in the collective bargaining agreement, they debated dropping the Pro Bowl, and the players were the ones who didn't want to drop it, because to a lot of them, that they saw it as a free trip to Hawaii at the end of the season.
Why wouldn't they?
Right, and now you get a free trip to Orlando, and it may not be...
It'll be interesting to see what Orlando does to make that, for the players, a memorable event, because that's the whole thing, is... I went two or three times.
Customized mouse ears for everyone.
Well, you never know. Put them in a reserve. I don't know what they could do to make this a unbelievably special memory, but that was always, you're right. I went to the Pro Bowl two or three times when I covered the Colts, and it struck you how much the players, once they did go, there were players who, if they were voted, would not miss it because of what it meant to go and the nature of the trip. So... I'd hate to see it sort of go away, but it looks like it's fading.
I think daily bus trips into Jacksonville would be alluring, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what they'll do.
That would be,
but they need to do something
Orlando,
to have some cachet with the players.
As far as Brock Osweiler, he will stink and never be any good going forward. So I don't know. Let's hope. Right? He started seven games.
I saw,
he's 5-2. We don't know.
Pro Football Focus did their 10 biggest mistakes of the offseason. An article this morning, I think Sam Monson wrote it, and number one was what they paid Brock Osweiler. In Houston.
But
so feel
to.
Good
Does
about that
matter?
If you want to.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, the only time I worry
they
about
to solidify what you, the position, that's what they tried to
right.
do.
Right. If you pay somebody, does it impact your ability to pay somebody else? If it doesn't,
right.
What difference does it really make all that much in the NFL? It costs some money out of Bob McNair's pocket. Do you really care what
right.
Bob McNair has in his pocket? I don't. All right. John Osier, Jaguars.com. Get back out there in the sunshine, buddy.
I can't wait.
With all those coaches. I know you can. Neither can I.
All right,
we'll
guys.
See you later. There he goes. Johnny O, senior writer from Jaguars.com. Amanda Borges on deck. From our own 1010XL Jaguar coverage. That's straight ahead on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, is this an Amanda Borges-related song? Is that what this is? I don't
She's
know.
She's a big Brett Eldridge fan, I'm pretty sure,
wow.
right?
Wow. Tyler pays so much attention to me. Thanks, Tyler.
Hey, you know. Tyler, you single? What's going on? Matchmaking right here on Jaguars Today, huh?
I've produced Helmets and Heels a few times, so I'm
by the way, that's an interesting, I've never seen that 1010XL shirt.
You know what's hilarious? I've gotten so many comments on this shirt today, mostly from men. You know how sometimes women wear things that other girls think are cute, but then men hate them? Like, mm-hmm. I know a lot of guys that hate rompers and hate those,
what's
like...
What's a romper?
Oh.
It's like
who
the
hates
one rompers. That's
it's
a bad
one
decision.
Piece. Bad, I know guys that don't take. Like rompers. It's basically
you see
him one
at the
whole.
A lot.
I like yoga pants. Anybody,
okay, yeah.
Anyone else a fan?
That's not a romper.
Okay. That's definitely
I'm just,
not a romper.
I'm just going with it, Tony.
Rompers are kind of baggy.
Let's describe.
It's
well, you know
loose.
What? We should tweet out a picture of Amanda sitting in studio
goodness.
With us. What? But it's a sleeveless.
It's basically
deal.
It's a golf shirt.
It's a golf shirt with no sleeves.
It's a golf shirt with no sleeves, and then it has a little fancy collar, and it has
it's a little polka dotty collar. Yeah,
it's not really polka dotty.
It's flowers.
From this,
you guys, in your sense of fashion,
from this distance,
it
looks
little
polka-dotty.
Flowers.
I mean, it's
well,
like lace-y.
Okay.
You don't like it? Should I never?
No,
wear this
I didn't
again?
Say I don't like it. I said I'd never seen it before.
Well, I'll tell you.
Not that they would give us. One of those,
right?
But most of my wardrobe, if you call it that, is 1010XL quote gear.
Right.
So.
Well, I don't think they'd give you a lacy polo to wear.
They might.
So I think that's
3X.
Why I got this one.
Amanda Borges here with us. Blake Bortles is the number 56 player, 56 ranked.
Yeah,
player
I almost
National
felt bad
Football
for
League.
Amanda walking in.
Right. This
today.
Is not the day
no.
to come in here. Jagger fans are all over our case today. Hey, look, whatever. So be it. What do you make of, forget the ranking of Blake, the fact that it appears that their peers around the National Football League who vote in this poll have placed, it appears, with Allen Robinson still to come, 4 returning Jaguars and at least 1 new one in Chris Ivory in the top 100 players. The roster talent is starting to get more recognition, it appears, around the National Football League.
Yeah, I mean, we already know that this team is getting recognized nationally now, and I think Blake getting recognized especially in the top 50 is really impressive. And I attribute that to his numbers last year when he broke franchise records. I don't know that I agree with him being so high, but I also don't think people should really really take this list all that seriously. Although you can then argue, well, what about Telvin Smith and Alan Hearns being on this list? Same with Chris Ivory, like you mentioned. But I'm going to see if we can get a chance to chat with Blake about that today.
He's going to, yeah, he's going to meet with the media after.
You know, look, I get it from, honestly, I get it from the fans and why they'd be even combative with us who talk about this team every day. Look, they've been beat up for a decade. And I can understand a fan base that's been beat up for a decade that you have your quarterback appear on a list like this at number 56, and the people who cover your team are going, I don't know if I'd have him at 56. And like the first thought in your head is, roar! Like it's, I understand that because if I was on the other side of it, I might feel the same way, but trying to have a logical discussion about where he should or shouldn't be on this list, I do wonder, Amanda, with the other players that have appeared, specifically Telvin and Alan, how much conversation, if any, has there been from some of the other players about those guys appearing on this list?
I don't know that they talk about it all that much because a lot of these guys don't focus on, hey, I just want to be on the NFL top 100 list. I think a lot of people are like, hey, I want to win more games and we have all these new pieces on our team and it's OTAs and it's time to get grinding and get ready for the season. But it is cool on a personal level to be like, hey, that is kind of cool. I made the NFL top 100 list, but I don't know that they talk about it amongst each other. Like, hey, you think I'm going to be in the top 50? What do you think?
Although, you know what? It's funny because everyone who comes out on this list, like guys who've been around for a while and have some cachet, been in some Pro Bowls, have had some success, generally come out immediately after their name is announced and go, what the hell? I should be at least 40 or 50 places higher on
right?
this thing. I've seen a lot of that. You know, the safeties have been arguing back and forth. Earl Thomas and Rashad Jones down in Miami and Eric Berry and others about who deserves to be the highest ranked guy at their position.
It gives them something to talk about,
smack
right?
talk. Sure, why not? Gives us something to talk
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
That's why I never underestimate the importance of these off-season lists.
No.
Okay?
And you guys are not a part of the Sunshine and Rainbows Club, so fans shouldn't expect anything else from you guys, right?
Well, just our honest opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
if we felt he
we
was
said it.
If he felt he was underrated, we'd tell you he's underrated.
When Carr showed up at 100, we were like, oh, Blake's not going to be on this list.
Right.
Like,
and that was
my first thought.
And
yeah.
that's based on talking to people around the league constantly who, I'm telling you, if you polled people in the National Football League, media, front office personnel, what have you, Derek Carr would come out ahead of Blake Bortles by, I don't know, a significant margin, but a solid majority of the vote would go to Derek Carr versus Blake Bortles. Because they see Carr as having more success in the one loss column, while
right.
statistics are not that far off what Blake's been able to do statistically. I'm not saying that Derek Carr is a better quarterback or a worse quarterback than Blake Bortles. I'm just telling you that that's how surprising it is to me that he's got about a 40 spot gap on him based on the perception of guys that Tony and I talk to all the time.
Yeah. Just surprised us.
Do you think if the Jaguars have won more games, Blake would deserve that spot?
He would be more deserving. Okay. I think and it would be less surprising. You can be the best player in the league on the worst team in the league. So
right.
it's not a matter of strictly winning games because it's not all under his control, but it's a factor and the turnovers are a factor. Whatever. I hope he earns the number one spot next year.
Absolutely.
And we're talking about it in Houston as the sad Texan fans cry that the Jaguars are crashing their Super Bowl party.
Aww.
All right. Who's crashing the party in OTAs from your perspective? Who has, you know, drawing your eye out on the field. We can't talk too many specifics,
no,
but in general, who's impressed you?
Well, first, I just want to mention that when I was on my way out here, I bumped into Jalen Ramsey, and he was walking through the hallway.
And
he looked great.
So if he gets hurt now any further, it's due to you bumping into him
because
in the hallway?
We didn't physically bump into each other. It was more like a, hey, how's it going? He
okay.
looked great. He was walking, no limp, no crutches. So that's great news, I think.
It's better than the alternative.
It's definitely better than the alternative. But it has been sort of sad to not see him out there, along with Miles Jack. But I can say I've been watching the defense a lot just because I know all the pieces, at least in our minds, are there on offense. So there's not much to critique. There's not much to look for, except for, of course, Marquise Lee, since this is his first time being healthy for OTAs. But there are a lot of new pieces on defense. It's great to see Dante Fowler out there. Tayshaun Gibson has been fantastic. Telvin Smith. So it's been really fun watching the defense. And it's funny because when you're out there, you know, they're wearing helmets and no pads and
helmets
shorts.
Helmets and heels.
Helmets and heels,
like
essentially. Helmets and flats. Hats and flats. Whatever. But because the defense is so talked about lately, I have almost forgotten hey, we're going to add Miles Jack, and they're also going to add Jalen. Because when you're out there, you're like, wow, this is great. This is exciting. And so it is kind of cool to know that even though they look pretty decent right now, they're still going to add a few more pieces.
Yeah, and note to you, and not that you don't know this, I mean, note in general to all of us to remind us, they always look decent
at this time of year. Of course they do.
Because no one's hitting anybody, and, right. You know, the ball's being thrown around, and you can't get physical. Nobody's sacking the quarterback, which let's hope that doesn't carry over, but yeah. You know what I'm saying.
You just don't want the plays where you're going, ooh.
Right, exactly. You know, oh, that thing is a helicopter coming out of his hands. And, and honestly, you think back, I mean, how, Amanda, I don't think you were here. Were you here for the Blake's first rookie minicamp and all that stuff? I don't know if you were.
No.
Okay, I mean,
because last year was my first season.
Yeah. Nobody wanted to say it too loudly at the time because they had just picked the guy, but the ball was fluttering out of his hand at that first rookie minicamp. Ask Logman. Now, Logman will tell you, at the time, I was like, oh, no.
Uh-oh. Yeah. What did we do?
It was a handful of them, too. It wasn't like it happened once. It was like a handful of those plays where you're going,
the ball just was spinning sideways, and you're like, what is happening
here? Yeah, and you're talking to him after all those practices, and he's like, you know, I'm really working on some technique stuff that I didn't get an opportunity to do while I was in college. And you're like, oh, let's get that solid.
let's get that fixed.
That old throwing motion thing. But, you know, look, he tightened things up with Tom House in the offseason last year. Uh-huh. I think he went back for a tune-up this year, if I'm not mistaken.
He's been back ever since he's been here.
And let him keep doing it, you know, yeah. Because we really didn't see a deterioration in that throughout the course of the season last year.
And today we're going to get to hear from Greg Olsen for the first time this offseason, so I'm excited to kind of pick his brain and hear what he has to say. We're also going to hear from Todd Wash, which will be exciting.
That's right, both coordinators today.
Yep, I think Blake.
I think Blake and maybe even Gus after practice today. And Gus has got – how many coaches are out there, by the way?
So many.
Can you
bunch of high school coaches.
What do you drive, by the way?
What do I drive?
Yeah, what car?
It's a Ford Fusion.
Okay, just check and make sure you're not the Camry owner.
It's not the wrong answer.
No, it's not the wrong answer. The wrong answer is Toyota Camry today.
Oh, okay.
Because the one dude in the Toyota Camry – did the whole I own a Rolls Royce, Lexus, whatever luxury car you want to name, and parked right on the middle line of two spots in a Toyota freaking Camry.
Oh,
hey, coach.
No.
Okay. You know, tell them to give you a raise, okay, first of all. And then then just use one spot like the rest of us mere mortals, if you could.
It was kind of cool to see all the high school coaches out there. I was talking with Coach Kevin Sullivan. He's a good friend of mine, and I was chatting with him because he's the new head coach at Ed White, so that was nice to see him. And a bunch of other coaches.
All right, I've got a photo of you now.
Oh, no.
Appearing in this
you can't
ensemble.
Just take photos of me.
I did when you were talking to Tony. You didn't notice. and so I wanted to – should we go – straight thumbs up, thumbs down, or should we give them a range of options?
Well, can I at least make sure it's a decent photo?
I took three, and I centered on the one I felt was the best.
Oh, so you already sent it out?
No, I have not.
Okay.
I have not. There's your wide-eyed look.
Okay, we can do that. That's
you like that?
Yeah, that's
this
fine.
One, and not so much, right? Because you're just one of those things when you're talking, your eyes are closed, you know, at any given moment, and then you got this one right here.
I don't care.
You know, because she doesn't care.
You know what? You pick whatever you want.
One.
You know what's so funny? I try to blend in when I'm here, and I think I need to rethink my outfit choices. Because this is just a white golf shirt.
With no sleeves.
With no sleeves.
And little stars
that
look like polka dots all over your
collar. Oh, my goodness.
They do
gracious.
From a little bit of a distance is all I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with polka dots. Right?
It's just funny that people notice.
Tony, you want to tuck our sleeves in solidarity?
You should.
To Amanda?
No.
I don't.
Do you guys have... like FOMO right now, fear of missing out because you're not out there.
FOMO.
I mean, I
that's a thing.
I'd rather be able to be out there, but yeah. I'm fine talking to people that are out there. There's only so much you can say.
Right. We wanted to be out there, and you know, in the hush hush world of top secret OTA security, I don't know what they thought we were gonna do if we were gonna go like, okay, Blake is now 7 for 9 in 7 for 7 drills. I don't know, but
we just got one in on the text line. It was like, talk about Marquise Lee and how he's being used in different packages. And I'm like,
even the
people who have seen it
can't talk about it.
But we can say he's healthy, and that's cool, and it's been fun to see him out there, and that's basically it. And hearing Gus talk about it has been interesting. He said he kind of has a hands-off approach. He hasn't really spoken that much to Marquise. Allen Robinson talked the other day about how it's cool to finally see him out there. So it's pretty basic stuff when it comes to Marquise.
I think everyone's right now kind of... holding their breath a little bit.
All right,
just get through OTAs for the next few weeks, and let's have a healthy start to training camp.
Absolutely.
That would be nice. Amanda Borges, ladies and gentlemen. You hear her as the co-host, one of many, on Helmets and Heels. She is our embedded Jaguars reporter and, of course, the star of the Frank Franchi Ensemble in the afternoon.
Are you going to send me back out into the heat now?
You don't have to leave. You can hang out as long as you like.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to miss anything in practice, you know. OTAs are pretty riveting.
They are. Well, it's AC here. AC and snark on the inside. It's sunshine and I don't know what kind of attitude on the outside. So your call, but we're always happy to have you on board. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
appreciate
Amanda Borges, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up, this date in football and the Honda drive around the NFL with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey, Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, time for a quick look at this date in football history. June 2nd, go back to 1992, former NFL New York Giants coach Bill Parcells. That seemed a little silly. NFL New York Giants coach as opposed to, what, the baseball Giants from the 1950s or something?
Redundant.
Yes, redundantly redundant. Bill Parcells underwent open heart surgery on this date in 1992, and I believe at some point indicated he was done coaching. And then, of course, he wasn't done and came back and on and off and on and off. I guess it would shock me at this point if he got back in. Maybe five years ago, I would have said no. I think at this point, and I think he's had overtures, Tony, in the last several years. I think I remember reading that teams occasionally still call Parcells to test whether the passion is still there to get back on the sideline. I don't think it does at this point in time. Birthdays on this date, Garo Yepremian, known as a very good kicker but also a terrible quarterback. If you recall, the Miami Dolphins' perfect season was capped by a 14-7 victory over the Washington Redskins in the Super Bowl. The 7 for the Redskins came on a Garo Yepremian ill-advised, at best, pass on a failed field goal attempt.
Yes.
That was returned for a touchdown. Garo's 72 years old today. Lacy. He ballooned up to over 260 last year. Lost a bunch of weight doing P90X, apparently.
Nice.
Still overweight.
Yes.
He still needs to drop some LBs. One-time Pro Bowler Eddie Lacy, born in this date in 1990. He is 26 years old. And that's what I got for you on this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
The Washington Redskins have confirmed a Deadspin story about a laptop being stolen from a team employee that contained medical information from every player that went through the NFL scouting combine from 2004 up through this year. The laptop was stolen from a car. The team is saying that no social security numbers or health information that would fall under HIPAA protections were stolen. There was also a hard drive, some other things in the car, but apparently that has been electronically protected as well with some kind of encryption and password protection. The process of informing players that could potentially be impacted by the robbery are starting to be informed now. The NFL in the city of Orlando announced, as expected yesterday, that the Pro Bowl will be moving to Central Florida. The game will also go back to an AFC versus NFC format instead of the ridiculous Pro Bowl draft we've had the last couple of years. It's made it nearly impossible to even know what players are on what team when you're watching the game. With or without the NFL's help, the researchers are going forward with their plan to try and find a diagnostic test for CTE. Many of the nation's leading brain scientists met in Boston yesterday to begin that process, despite the controversy in the last couple weeks about the NFL pulling funding from that project. It is still going to move forward with or without the NFL's help.
You see, the in terms of Orlando, the Dolphins have moved their preseason home opener this year against Atlanta to Orlando this year. I would imagine the Jags, if they were on the lie detector test, probably not happy about that, right? You're trying to draw fans from a region, an area, and, you know, I think the Jags would feel that they've got every right to reach down into Orlando, and especially with, you know, Blake Bortles being a UCF grad and, you know, being the 56th best player in the National Football League. I kid. but seriously, you know what I mean? I mean, I would think that they're going to keep a close eye on this, and you know, Miami's further away geographically, but they've got a lot more years of history to draw on as you battle for. I don't know how significant the impact on any of the Florida teams the Orlando market makes. I would guess, you know, the Bucks, they've been used to making that commute from Orlando to Tampa for a number of years. I'm sure there are Jag fans that come up from Orlando. There are probably some that make the trip down to Miami on a regular basis as well. I don't think that's out of the question at all. I wonder how many, you know, season ticket holders, that kind of thing, the Jags draw from that area.
I don't know. I mean, Miami was kind of the team of the state for so long. They were a team that was on locally for so long. I'm sure there's probably still a pretty good Dolphins fan base in the city. There's been whispers over the years about the Jags maybe playing a preseason game in Orlando at some point. Look, I think they want it to be a regional footprint for this football team. They're probably not thrilled that the Dolphins are going to be playing a preseason game there, but I don't know in the end how much of an impact that really has.
Speaking, by the way, of Jaguars season ticket holders, should have done this earlier, meant to give a shout-out. Yesterday, Tony, I was seeking out golf partners, right? And I said, who wants to play hooky and go play golf? And everyone's like, I do. And, well, in theory, sure, maybe everyone did. I wanted to find out who really wants to go, like who is willing to go play yesterday. Hooked up with an old friend of mine, Mike Thomas, that everybody at the station knows pretty well. We played yesterday. And Cody, who's a Jaguar season ticket holder, who is a Twitter follower and a listener of the show.
Cool.
Cody Evison, cool dude, 26, got his second kid on the way, so he's way more ahead in life than I ever was at his age. He's got a season ticket somewhere in the 220s. I can't remember the exact section, and is obviously very excited about the Jags' prospects coming up. And we talked a little fantasy football out on the golf course,
I'm
too.
I'm sure.
Which didn't
that
hurt.
That may come up, yeah.
Yeah, and I got my first draft tonight, my first draft for a 2016 league tonight. So I've got the sixth pick, Tony. Do I need to trade up to secure the services of Blake Bortles, or will I be able to get him at six?
I think you can probably get Blake in the sixth round, in all likelihood, in that draft.
You know what? I don't know about that. It's funny. We ran it on Sirius a couple weekends ago. We were doing the AFC South on our fantasy show on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ran a poll. Which quarterback in the AFC South will have the most fantasy impact for you? He'll be the best fantasy quarterback to own this year. And the network sent it out, but I retweeted it, and then I thought, man, my timeline is pretty well stuffed with a lot of people who are Jaguar fans. I don't know if that skewed the results.
Mm-hmm.
43% Blake, 43% Luck. Dead tie, and then you had Mariota and coming in at like a little over 10%, and then Osweiler got the rest out in Houston. So he was a top 10 guy in fantasy last year.
Yes,
somebody,
he was.
Somebody asked on the text line, driven by Duval Ford, how much does that play into it? I don't know that the actual fantasy numbers of it play into it, because the players, I don't know what percentage of players play fantasy right now, but the raw numbers do have to factor into it, right? As somebody pointed out, if this voting was done right after hanging a 50 spot on Indy, he's fresh in your mind, right? You see the big numbers, you're like, wow, this guy's really coming on. I need to give this guy some consideration. You look into it a little bit more. So numbers play a role. You know, Duval Doom is chiding us for not pointing out that people who think that Derek Carr should get more credit because he has wins, because we always say, or often say, that you can't base a quarterback solely on wins. Well, it's a factor in the equation. I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't do it. I'm saying this is how, what I'm telling you, we talk to people repeatedly in different markets, and when they talk quarterbacks, they rave about Bridgewater. Would you take Teddy Bridgewater over Blake Bortles? Not in a million years would I do that.
No.
Having seen them play in the National Football League, but you'd be, maybe you wouldn't be shocked how many NFL people think Teddy Bridgewater is the better quarterback because his team wins more. I don't believe that. So I'm not saying that they're right in the thinking. I'm saying, though, that because that thinking exists, that's part of the reason I'm surprised where Blake ended up in relation to a guy like Derek Carr, who also has gaudy stats and has one more game.
Sure. Like, we've talked about this quarterback thing before, and I think the win-loss record is maybe the most overhyped stat for starting quarterbacks. It is funny, if you go to like Pro Football Reference, the quarterback position is the only one where they show you a win-loss record. It's the only one. You don't get a win-loss record for a running back or a wide receiver or any other position that has some kind of impact on the game like that, that has those raw numbers. Only the quarterbacks, that you go to their page and it says he's gone this in his career in this many starts. So there's something to it. I think it's an overhyped part of it. And look, I was wrong. When I saw Derek Carr at 100, in my head I said, Blake's not going to be on this list.
I do too.
Because of the perception that people have of Carr and Bortles based on the national guys that I've talked to. I thought, oh, Blake's not going to be on this list. It's a bit of a shame. I don't think he's undeserving of being in the top 100 players for what he did in 2015. I think he's deserving of that kind of recognition. He had a good season last year for this Jaguars team. He was one touchdown pass off of leading the league in touchdown passes last year. I think the season is worth noticing, worth noting, and I'm glad that players did. I'm surprised they did it where they did it. That's it.
And I agree with your sentiments, and they don't need to be repeated by me after you just said them, but coming up in the next segment, we'll hear the actual audio as they presented Blake as the 56th ranked player last night. You'll hear from a number of guys, including his teammates and opponents, just talking about the merits of Blake Bortles and his strengths to his game and things like that. So that's coming up. Also, Irish Jaguar tweeting at me right now. He said he took Bortles at five, the second pick in the fifth round in a Superflex Dynasty draft in the last week. That's pretty good value right there. And a Superflex Dynasty draft. Yeah. We're going deep dive fantasy talk here. Superflex means you could play a quarterback as your flex player. And not every league uses a flex player. You know, you have, say, two running backs, three receivers, a tight end, and a flex where you could play, you know, a running back, a receiver, or a tight end in that spot, any position. But in a Superflex, you can use a quarterback. And almost everyone does use a quarterback because they score consistently more points than any other position. And so in a super flex league, you're basically talking about a two quarterback league. And in a dynasty league, you're talking about young guys are at a premium. You're keeping them as long as you want. You can keep them for his entire career. So the fact that he got him at 5.02 seems like a bargain to me, not knowing how many teams are in that league. If I'm told like 10 or 12 teams, that would be a seeming bargain, I think, at that point, because I would take Blake over a ton of maybe even better NFL quarterbacks, because he's got great weapons and they're all young as well, and he's shown the ability to put up copious fantasy points. Good on you, Irish Jaguar. Send me a link to that draft. I'd like to check it out. All right, coming up, we'll do that more on the reaction to Blake. We'll get some of the fan feedback spotlight out as well, because scheduled to join us in about 25 minutes, Sheldon Day, Jaguar rookie defensive lineman out of Notre Dame. That's coming up. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today, live at EverBank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. That's the link to your fantasy draft. A little risky there, Tony, taking Mark Ingram for Irish Jaguar when the next guy had back-to-back picks and no quarterbacks on his team and basically a two-quarterback league. Risky there, Irish Jaguar.
Yeah.
You must be a hater. Must be a hater or a lover of Mark Ingram. Could be the case. Blake Bortles is, as we mentioned earlier, holding his first youth football camp in conjunction with the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Foundation and the Police Athletic League of Jacksonville. They're joining together the inaugural Blake Bortles Jacks PAL football camp. The Blake Bortles Foundation helping to put this on. 500 pre-registered boys and girls will get a free experience. Get lunch, get a T-shirt. You have to pre-register. If you want details, go to jaxpal.com, J-A-X-P-A-L.com. And the camp is coming up on June 11th. So hurry, 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 and get to your web browser of choice. And, man, you know, speaking of which, we're in the studio, was it yesterday? And Coward comes in, he goes, I hate this Windows 10 crap, right? And Windows 10 did it to him. He did it to me. You know, I've been getting these pop-ups. Are you ready to schedule your upgrade to Windows 10? And I'm like, no, I don't. I'm fine with Windows 9 or whatever I got. I don't want to mess with.
I have no idea what I got, but I like it.
Whatever I have works fine. I don't want to mess with it. And then two afternoons ago, it just starts downloading on its own.
It got tired of waiting.
It did. Apparently, there was like a deadline. I don't know, maybe end of May or something. And so now it is. It has put me into Windows 10 mode, and I don't know if I like it or hate it yet. I haven't really decided. Coward said he had all kinds of issues with it, but I'm not a fan of something deciding to download itself onto my computer.
Yeah, that's not cool.
I didn't think it was cool. I'm glad you confirmed that.
Yeah, that's not cool at all.
All right. What is cool for a lot of Jaguar fans is seeing a number of their players, their favorite players, ranked in the top 100 as voted on by their peers in the NFL. We've been talking about this a good bit today. Blake Bortles coming in at number 56 on the NFL Network's list of the top 100 players in the league. keep in mind, this is the audio, which was obviously backed by video when they released this list, but a number of players, you're going to hear Mercedes Lewis talking first, Charles James, the second of the Texans, DeQuell Jackson is on there, Alan Hearns is on the clip, I believe Kendall Wright of the Titans may be on the clip as well, but a lot of different guys, so you're going to hear different voices weighing in, some teammates, some opponents, talking about Blake, and here's the package they put together.
He plays with a chip on his shoulder. He wants to be perfect. He's just really about that action. He's a guy that's tough as nails, and I've seen him get up, throw the ball at his feet, and just be like, yo, come on, it's time to get some more. That's what gets the guys rallying around him.
Let's go, baby, lead us!
Blake Bortles had a breakout year in 2015. He finished second behind Tom Brady with 35 touchdown passes. And with over 4,400 total passing yards on the season, he notched higher than Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, and Ben Roethlisberger.
I like Blake. Blake's a gunslinger. You know, he just throws like he reminds me of like a Brett Favre type. Like just gunslinger, like.
Blake, with him, is keep him in the pocket, because if he gets outside of the pocket, he can really move.
Bortles steps up. He can run, and he's got the first down and more.
Now, you would bring up Blake Bortles. Good Lord. Great talent. For me, because I'm in the middle of the defense, I watch the quarterback's eyes. When I'm in pass coverage, I know I have an area where I'm supposed to drop, but ultimately he's going to take me where I need to go. So I think he's done a better job with looking guys off. Typically young quarterbacks, they know where the route concept, they've done their homework throughout the week, but you know, can you take it a step further with moving me off my spot to get to the throw that you want?
Just a simple little post pattern, quick post, skinny post to Alan Hearn.
That's our leader. So we always feeding off his energy.
Let's go. Let's go win this thing. Let's go. Double right out.
And the confidence.
H. Swift. Hey, let's go, man. We're all right. Yep. Come on. Let's go. Hey, you all right? Let's go. Keep fighting, man. Let's go.
He's very poised. You never see him rattled. No matter what happens throughout the course of a game, that next drive, he believes that he's going to go out there and score a touchdown.
So here come the Jags. They trail 31-27, 2:30 to play. Under center is Bortles. Play fake. Blake running to the left now. Stays behind the line. Fires toward the end zone. Once Alan Hearns diving attempt. Touchdown Jacksonville. Big time touchdown throw to win the game. That's the future. Blake Bortles, that is the future.
The future and the present for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Blake Bortles. By the way, Tyler sent out a Twitter poll. Who'd you rather have for the future? As, to an admittedly biased audience, as he put in there. You can vote for Blake. You can vote for that guy with the beard, who's known best for his beard, wishing on his beard hairs. I think that's what Andrew Luck is up to these days. Any surprise to you, Tony, that it's running 77-23% in favor of Bortles? Or
Andrew got 23?
Are you surprised, right, that he got that many votes is would be the question.
How many votes have there been?
Over 100 votes.
Oh, so a quarter of people think Andrew Luck still. I'm shocked.
Still rather have Andrew Luck. I know. I'm very surprised as well. Let's get to some of the reaction. Blake Bortles coming in at number 56. Here's some on Facebook that we got today. We asked you what your reaction was to Blake's ranking on the top 100 list.
He's
part
solid.
Of the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight. He is solid. Russell said, I bet he feels good about it. If the TD to interception ratio were better, I think he would have been on the countdown next week. All in all, it feels good to have a relevant quarterback playing for us. They compared him to Brett Favre, which is exciting. I see Big Ben when I watch him play as well. Hopefully next year our Ben Favre will be higher on the countdown because we made the postseason. All that's right in line. I think we all feel that way, right? Happy to see him on the list. Surprised,
sure.
I am. But, you know, he's gotten that Roethlisberger. Got the Roethlisberger early. He seems to get more of the Brett Favre now that he's played a couple of years.
Yeah, and look, the hope should be not that he's going to be like Brett Favre. The hope should be that in 15 years people are saying this guy looks a lot like Blake Bortles.
That'd be nice.
Like, that's what you want, is your guy to turn into the guy that everyone else coming in the league is like, oh, he looks a lot like X. So we'll see if he can get there.
Joe said, awesome, hoping he would be in the 80s or 90s. Lost hope when he wasn't. This was a pleasant surprise. Interesting that the players felt this way about him. Damon said he deserves it. He had a breakout year. Raider fans hating on Blake Bortles, thinking Carr is better than Bortles. Bortles had more yards, more TDs, more average yards thrown over 20-plus. I saw some Raiders games last year, and believe me, Carr is more of a dink-and-dunk quarterback. Raider Nation needs to be worrying more about keeping the Raiders in Oakland, blah, blah, blah. He goes on. Tom Wark, fantastic. It's another indication of the growing respect for the Jags among the rest of the league. Joshua said, I knew he'd make it the moment I saw Hearns revealed at 88. It was a good indication he'd make it because we all know Robinson will be in the top 50 now. How can you have two receivers considered as top 90 by the players and then deny the man who's throwing them the football? It is awesome. Hashtag Jaguars today. Kevin the Hater said, finally, some respect from his peers around the league. And that a lot of people from other fan bases are going to be mad. So maybe he's hating on other fan bases. Dustin said what it means is that Gus can't spin his way out of a sub-500 season like he is an expert at. All right. Chad went with, that's great, but he needs to win games for us, not lose them by turning it over when it counts. And finally, Adrian Carter said, great, just stop throwing stupid interceptions. On Twitter, what was it like?
Here's what we got from Colby. We got just shocked, and he sent us the gif of a shocked face there from that Duval dude. We got deserving of inclusion, but higher than I thought he'd get. The interceptions and poor record would keep him lower, I thought. From Brian, NFL marketing and creating new storylines, great for Blake Bortles and Jacksonville. From Matt, pretty shocked, agree that he's not quite there yet, but awesome for him. From Daniel, glad his peers like him, but I don't care, just win games. From Jarrell, a bit surprised. If he didn't have those backbreaking picks, 56 would be fine by me. And from Richard, there is now a shortage of tissues on the West Coast, thanks to Raiders fans.
All right. And hey, look, everybody wants to support their guy. I'm sure anytime the Jags Twitter followers, you know, the fan base on Twitter takes to Twitter to support their guy, other fan bases think it's the Jags crying as well. So look at it how you like. They're going to support their guy. You're going to support your guy. Nothing wrong with either of those as far as I'm concerned.
Apparently Andrew Luck's got a bunch of people. Andrew Luck's got a bunch of people chiming in on this poll. It's already up to 32% for Andrew Luck in the last 2 minutes. He's gaining steam.
I you know what? Because probably half my Twitter followers are from the local end of it, right? Jags today related, 1010XL related. So I would imagine very high percentage Jag fans. The other half are more from the fantasy football side, from SiriusXM. So you get a more varied fan base. And I retweeted your poll, so it could be it's just getting out there in front of a more varied fan base right now. Could be that. Who knows? We'll keep an eye on it because this will be tomorrow's topic on the program, the results of Tyler's poll. Coming up next, we hope to have a sit-down with Sheldon Day, Jaguar rookie out of Notre Dame, who was in garnering a little bit of praise early on in OTA, so we'll do that coming up. Also, if you go to my timeline, apparently Twitter does not let you put a picture in a poll, which I don't like.
It's weak.
It is weak, right? I mean, there were plenty of characters left. I just wanted to say, what do you think of Amanda's shirt with a photo? And then you could just click thumbs up, thumbs down. So instead, I just tweeted out the shirt, picture of her in the shirt, and asked you to give your opinion on that. So maybe we'll look at some of the feedback. Ocho Fisho's winning the internet so far this morning. I don't know if you saw his reply, Tony. Good for Amanda. Hacker, not so much. So trust us, none of the dudes need to be running around in that getup as far as we're concerned.
No doubt.
No doubt. All right, coming back, more Jaguars today. Hopefully sitting down with Sheldon Day in just moments. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Sheldon Day is a guy that I think probably is one that has really stood out to where you see his, you know, first step explosiveness, more of a penetrating type, but his quickness, he's caught our eye now. He's done a really good job, and I'd say of the whole group, he's probably a guy that's really, you know, caught our attention.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Sheldon Day just dropped the mic and walked out of the room, Tony, after that one. I wouldn't blame him if he did.
They don't all get the fight song on the way into the studio.
They don't, but it's easy to find the Notre Dame fight song. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. How about you?
We're doing fine. We're a lot cooler than you. Looks like you're working hard out there, huh?
Yeah, of course. Going every day to grind.
So. Getting used to that heat a little bit for you?
Trying to. You know, it's hot down here, but, you know, every day trying to get acclimated.
It's got to be nice. We had Gus Bradley sitting in that very seat last week, just a week ago. And we asked him, you know, just give us a few guys that have stood out to you. We didn't throw any names out to him. And you were one of the very first names that came out. It's got to feel good to see your coach recognizing your efforts out there so far.
It definitely is. You know, you go to work every day hoping you catch somebody's eye. So just to go to work every day, keep my head down, and just continue to grind.
Just a couple weeks in OTAs, probably about a month into your workouts here with the team. How do you feel like you're acclimating to this defense?
Oh, man, it's fun. You know, you go into the meet room, and it's an edge in that room. So just walking into that room every day, getting some excitement about playing football is definitely special down here. We're definitely trying to build something here.
We feel like, you know, the defensive line, it did a pretty good job stopping the run last year. Pass rush has been an issue here for a couple of years. But we're just talking to you before we came out of the break. The bodies, the talent that – it looks like you have on the defensive line, pretty impressive. And we know you weren't here last year, but when you look around, and there's Malik Jackson, you know, guy fresh off the Super Bowl. You see some of these other young guys just getting their first taste along with you, some of the veterans coming back. How good is that talent on that defensive line?
Oh, man, we're stacked, especially when you go in the room and you see guys like Malik Jackson and J.O., and you got guys like Tyson, Sendarek, and everybody's just trying to help the young guys out and bring us along to kind of help get this winning culture going here.
Have you had a moment yet where it kind of left your head spinning? Like, just the athleticism of a guy that you're not used to on an offensive line or the guys around you yet?
Yeah, I would definitely say Dante. Man, I seen him bend, and I was like, is that possible? Are you allowed to do that? Like, that should be go against all type of mechanical rules with your body, but that guy, he's special. He's an athletic freak.
Take us back to the draft and what it was like for you. Fourth-round selection by the Jaguars. Did you know the Jags had significant interest in you? Were you happy? Did you know much about the situation here? Just take us back to your thoughts at that time.
Yeah, so I met with the Jags at the Combine, and it seemed like me and Coach Bradley and all the other staff, we just clicked in that room laughing, joking, just kind of shooting the hay and just making sure we got to know each other on a personal level. He asked about my family, asked about his, and just kind of tried to build a relationship. And going through the draft, you know, the first day goes by, second day goes by, and you don't hear that phone ring, but you know somebody's going to call your name. And just that opportunity that the Jags have given me is definitely a blessing, and I'm definitely going
to
run with it.
Is it stressful to you, though, as a picks go? I mean, what were you doing? Did you have, like, was it, at first, was it like 20 people in the living room, and then you're like, let me just walk off to the outside? I mean, how what is it? Because I don't know what you expected, where you expected to go, but
yeah.
As the picks tick off, like you said, you know you're going to get picked at some point, but, man, can we get this over with,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so, you know, your family's in the room with you, and then every time a pick goes, they look at you to see if your phone rang, and then it's like, oh, man, it didn't ring. Why are they looking at me? Why are they looking at me? But, you know, you always have to take those walks and just take a deep breath and just realize that this is a blessing, so you just got to take it in and kind of run with whatever situation you get put in.
They're bringing you in as a three technique. What does that mean, and what do you think you bring to that position, Sheldon?
Definitely an athletic guy, athletic build, penetrate and get off the ball and try to be disruptive. And three technique plays on the outside shade of the guard, and it's a nasty position. You got to be fast, athletic, and have a different mindset for sure.
How much is having guys like Malik Jackson, Sendarek Marks, and his limited ability to get out there to this point, but just having those guys that have been so successful in that same kind of position around you, how much has that helped early on?
Just picking their brains and seeing what works for them and how I can kind of translate into that in my game. And Just seeing those guys go to work every day and try to be like a pro, try to act like them, try to kind of pick up on tendencies that they do well.
They let you at Notre Dame, they let you come off the edge a little bit too, right?
Yeah.
You got that in you, right?
Yeah, I do. You know, I took pride in that too, especially everybody, oh, he's too short, he's not fast enough, he's not quick enough, and I definitely took pride in coming off the edge, and then they let me do a two-point stance, dropping coverage, so Notre Dame definitely looked out for me.
Yeah, well, look, they've been saying that about a lot of guys. Elvis Dumervil is too short, Robert Mathis is too small, whatever.
Yeah.
And if you can get to the quarterback, you can get to the quarterback. We'll take it from the interior or the edge. It doesn't really matter to us. What has your experience in Florida been like, other than the heat? You think Jacksonville is going to be a place that really fits who you are?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's kind of a laid-back city, you know, a young crowd, and the beaches are nice. The city's great, and the fans, every time they see you, saying, what's up? Hey, can't looking forward to this year. Can't wait for everything to happen. So it's definitely a great city.
What do you feel like you're working on at this point? Penetrating inside, pass rusher coming in. We talked about that three technique. What do you feel like you still need to work on, especially early on?
Definitely my consistency. Come out every day being the same guy and make sure that I go to work every day trying to just improve my game each and every day. Take a step closer to being great.
Who is the personality in this rookie class? I mean, you know, we've seen a few of the guys out there, but who's the guy behind the scenes that has everybody kind of rolling, or he's always wisecracking, or what? Who's that guy?
It's between Yannick and Jalen Ramsey.
Is that right?
Yeah, those two guys.
Yannick's got a little game?
A little bit. You know, he's always cracking jokes and making fun of people, so he's definitely a character type of guy.
You know, coming from Notre Dame, it's amazing how many people have tweeted at us, hit us up on Facebook, you name it. You wait till you see Sheldon Day on the field. I mean, Notre Dame it rolls deep, yeah. Any part of the country. What's it like to have that fan base? You could go to any state in America, and you know there are going to be Notre Dame fans around.
It just shows that Notre Dame's the best college football team in the country.
Uh-oh.
I said it here. I said it here for sure. But Notre Dame, man, it's a great community. For sure, you get around that place, and you definitely feel a special part in your heart, and you just fall in love with the place.
They don't pump out dummies either, Tony.
No,
that's for sure.
I'm telling you, we've had several Notre Dame guys in here, and you guys, Penn State too. Apparently, they make you go to class at those schools.
Yeah,
we've noticed.
There's no doubt about that. You talked about some of the rookies that are talkers. What about the guys on the field? I know Telvin's always been kind of that spark plug guy since he got here to Jacksonville. What about out there?
Yeah, I would definitely say Telvin for sure. He definitely barks at us and makes sure that we stay on top of everything. And he's also a guy that's going to pump you up and make sure that your spirits are high every play.
What are your goals for your rookie season?
Definitely contribute as much as possible for sure. See the field in any type of way, special teams, defense.
Do offense, whatever they want, right?
Do whatever they want for sure until I find my role.
That's a good answer. Man hired a good agent. He got him prepared. That Notre Dame education shining through right now. Got a little blood on your finger right there. That's his normal wear and tear right there, man. That's
sure.
That's his day in the life of a defensive tackle. So what are you looking forward to as OTAs go along? I mean, the pace slowing down mentally a little bit because you start to catch up, or, you know, installing more of the defense, getting the pads on. What are you looking forward to as the summer plays out?
Man, just continue to grow with these guys, build relationships with them, and make sure that we grow this familyhood within this locker room for sure. I feel like once you have a family with a team, it shoots rockets, and man, you can have something special if you have a family in the locker room.
Did the Jags, whether it was general manager Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley, whomever, talk to you about that a lot? Because, as you said, you click with Gus. I find it hard to believe no one out there couldn't click with Gus. Everyone clicks with Gus, right? It's just that way. But they really seem to have gone out of their way to find guys that fit into a certain culture where it is an all-for-one kind of mentality. I don't know. You know, I guess every football locker room strives for it. You don't always find it, though.
Yeah, that's for sure. Kind of when we had our rookie mini camp and things like that, Gus kind of preached that we're going to build a family. And if you don't fit this family, then he's sorry. But you make sure that you fit this family so that we can continue to grow this winning culture.
Have you had a chance to relax at all? I know it's tough for the rookies. I mean, it's you don't get an off season as a guy going into the league. Have you had a chance to really just step back and take a breath about everything yet?
Not really, but on weekends, the rookies hang out. We try to just wind down and just kind of spend time with each other and just kind of relax and just explore Jacksonville. So it's definitely a time on the weekends where we can relax and kind of grow as one.
All right, so the rest of what your schedule, you've been practicing in the mornings, and what do you have? You have meetings, position meetings. What do you have going on the rest of the day?
Position meetings, lifting, and then we have rookie orientation where we try to get knowledge more built on how to enter this league and how to do well in this league.
Just grind on it, baby.
Grind on.
We love it.
Save that money.
Save that money. Don't buy crazy things your first year. If you're, you know, once you get that second contract, then you start going nuts. All right, Sheldon, as you wrap up with us, this is the first time we've had you on Jaguars today, hopefully many more times to come. What would you like to say to the Jaguar fans that maybe you're hearing from you from the first time?
Go Jags and keep your eyes open this season for us.
Can you give us a Duval? Have you learned the Duval?
Oh, yeah, hold on. Let me get my voice
right. All right, get it warmed up. That's the man. He's acclimating quite well to the 904. Sheldon Day out of the University of Notre Dame. Thanks for stopping by, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
And good luck to you in your rookie season and many years beyond that with the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, there you go. Sheldon Day, ladies and gentlemen. Good to have him stopping by, Tony. I'm telling you, those guys at Notre Dame, it's amazing.
There's
you
a handful
go to these
of those
academic
schools.
Institutions,
yeah.
And they actually make you go to class. It really shows up. So nice guy. Wish him the best, certainly. And, you know, hey, look, get after it, young fella, and go be that penetrating disruptor in the middle of the defensive line. Don't forget Michael Bennett from last year. They got a lot of defensive tackles of varying experience in the National Football League. And, you know, Roy Miller had a hell of a year for himself last year. You got a lot of guys. You mentioned Odric, Tyson Alwall, guys who can slide inside. So
yeah, Avery Jones, who they picked up
Avery
the option on this year.
Absolutely. I mean, they're stacked up on the interior of the defensive line. The question is, can they get enough push there and on the edges to up that sack total and get consistent pressure and help out that secondary this year?
Oh, yeah. And look, it feels like they ought to be able to. From the center, at least, it feels like there ought to be enough push to help the edge defenders that we have. And maybe that eases the transition for guys like Dante Fowler Jr., who haven't played in the league yet going into his second year, but obviously missing all of last season, and Yannick Ngakoue, who they're having to count on as a rookie coming in as maybe being that primary backup to Dante Fowler. So if they can get that kind of push up the middle, that it appears like they at least have the athletes on the field to do that. We've seen Malik and Sendarek excel at that at times in their career here in the National Football League. It could be a pretty good season for that defensive line. Doesn't mean it's without question marks, but it could be a pretty good one.
Come over here, Peter. What are you doing over there? Hang out. Pete Prisco just popped his very tan head into the studio right now. I don't know if I've ever seen Pete not very tan, but certainly in the summer months,
goodness.
Pete's going to be soaking up that sunshine. What's going on, man?
What's up? I'm noticing the beautiful studio in here. It's wonderful. I haven't seen that.
it's a work in progress. Pardon our dust and
all
those other things.
You're not hearing noise today, though. We're getting the full ambience.
Where are those cameras? I can't wait till they get
there. They're going to wait until the jackhammering is done, because we've had a couple of shows interrupted by jackhammering right above us right now.
Yeah, Joe was telling me that they might try and Skype me in on Mondays.
Well, that's great. You don't have to worry, because we got this bucket collecting all the dripping water moment. So that's
good.
Going for
that's good.
Hey, quick thought. We talked a lot today about the top 100 list. The players vote on it. We understand. It's not the end-all,
be-all. You
didn't
see my list yesterday?
I did not see your top
100. Top 100 came out yesterday.
Where did you have Blake?
100.
100. Okay.
He's too
reasonable.
High at 56.
Wait, right. And people interpret that as, oh, you guys are bashing the guy. No, he has room for improvement. Great step from year one to year two. What are you hoping to see from year two to year three?
What I saw on the practice field today.
Which was? What can you tell
pre-snap,
us anyway?
Pre-snap reads. I think, and talking to the coaches, the pre-snap reads are 10 times better. And that's the next step for him. Making plays outside the context and the concepts of the play, that's, you know, you can do that because he's such a great athlete and he's smart and he keeps his head up. But making him within the concept of the play, that's the next level for him. By that, I mean, come to the line of scrimmage, see you got one-on-one. You know your receiver's going to run a slant inside. Go to him. You don't make an easy throw instead of making something that's, you know, created outside the play. And I think he's going to take that step.
That's one thing that DeQuell Jackson pointed out last night when they were talking to various players in the division about Blake Bortles. And he talked about moving guys with his eyes. And some of that comes from that pre-snap read. When you know, look, if I look this guy off long and if I hold the linebacker there, and they showed an example of him moving DeQuell Jackson and allowed Allen Hurns to come open up the seam and break a long one for a touchdown. So well, let's hope we see a lot more of that and less turnovers.
Yeah, and I'm okay. I'm not okay with 18 turnovers. I'm the coach of this team, but I'd rather have my quarterback throwing 35 touchdown passes than 18. I'll go back to a guy that used to play. You know, David's on your show. I'd rather have the 35 and 18 than the 18 and 3. Let's put it that way. That's me. And I always, you know, quarterbacks tell me all the time. They say, look, if you really want to play the game in this league and throw, you know, 18 and 3 or 20 and 5, you can do that. You're not taking a lot of chances.
Right.
You're not taking a lot of chances. And I think I was listening to you guys the other day. I think you brought up the guys who have had the interception, touchdown, interception ratio, and some of those guys were stiffs. I mean, let's
right.
be honest.
Right. So, oh, absolutely. Yeah. On a much lower level, like, you know, it's like 13-1 for McCown in a half season. It's
right.
a fluky half season.
Right. But there was, and there's some other guy. I think it was a couple others, but I want my guys taking shots. So, he needs to cut down on 18. That's too many, but you'd rather have 30 and 13.
30 and 12 is my number this year.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
I mean,
and that's the pre-snap you're talking about. The great quarterbacks in the league, they come to the line of scrimmage, look at the defense, and they know.
Well, there's
like, a signature
this
play. Is where the play is supposed
yeah,
to go.
Yeah, there's a signature play last year, that a mistake. When he came to the line, he had one-on-one on the right, and he threw late to the flat against the Falcons, right? And it went the other way. I mean,
right.
You can't, that's pre-snap reading, and that's where his next step is.
All right, how many days are you going to be out here?
I'm going to come down a couple of days.
Are you?
And then training camp.
You know what we're doing tomorrow on the show?
What?
Pete Prisco's top 100 players.
You better.
In the National Football League.
I didn't put Telvin Smith in it.
I don't think Telvin's a top 100
either.
Player right now. He
I
needs
don't
to
either.
Make more big plays. He can get there. You know, and I don't think that's a knock on Telvin Smith. Just you know,
I had Malik Jackson, and the NFL Network doesn't have Malik Jackson.
I would agree, Malik Jackson, but I think when you consider the timing of the voting, I think it happens in early December, right? How are these guys allowed to vote for their own guys?
Yes.
Okay. And is it they vote for 20 or 25?
I'm not sure how many they vote for, but I know they can vote for their own guys.
I think
guys.
It's 20 or 25.
And young teams like Jacksonville, the players will vote more than
guys.
More guys will vote than guys on veteran teams.
Right, so we're saying veteran guys New England go, gets that thing and
yeah,
throws
they go,
it out.
Like this. They go, I'm not doing that. I got time for that.
Right.
And this team, they get guys to vote. So, look, it's good recognition. That's all it is.
Absolutely.
The guys that should be on the top 100 list from this team are Allen Robinson, Malik Jackson, and Blake Bortles. That's who should be on the top.
There you go. Allen Hurns pushing.
Pushing it. Yeah.
Pete Prisco, good to see you, buddy.
You got it.
Thanks
fellas.
For stopping by. There he goes. Pete Prisco's top 100. Don't miss it. At CBSSports.com. What are you thinking if you haven't seen that thing already and broken it down? It's absolutely unbelievable. Thanks to Pete for stopping in. Thanks to Sheldon Day of your Jacksonville Jaguars for stopping by. John Osier from Jaguars.com and our own Amanda Borges. By the way, weigh in on Twitter, Amanda's shirt. I tweeted out the photo at MD_1010XL and to give us the thumbs up, thumbs down on Amanda's new 1010XL golf ensemble. So check that out. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. We're signing off here live at EverBank for Jaguars today. Back again tomorrow with the final day of OTAs for week two. Coming up next, the Midday Chalk on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.